You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn with me. Doesn't mean we're going to start right off the bat, but turn with me to Psalms 100, and we'll see if we wind up getting there. I just want you to have that ready because I'm kind of headed that direction. Or as I often say, we're going to jump off the diving board and pray there's water in the pool. Hallelujah. Well, it's Thanksgiving season. You know, it's the time that we acknowledge God. That's really what Thanksgiving's about. No matter how you can politically correct you try to make it to be, it originally was a time to set aside to honor God, to praise God, thank God for the survival of the pilgrims. I mean, that's what it was about. They'd survived. God had taken care of them. Hallelujah. Had spared their lives and they were still alive. And so they set aside time to thank God. And in this country, we do the same thing every year. We set aside time to thank the Lord. Now, I don't know who other people think, but that's who thank, but I thank the Lord. You know, that's a wonderful thing to realize. I remember when I was out back in my place, out in the pasture looking out, and it was just a great day. Everything was going my way. You ever had those days? You know, every day's not a bad day. There are some good ones. And I was just, everything was right with the world. I was feeling good. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder, zippity-doo-da, zippity-a. And I was looking out across the pasture, and I was just thanking God, you know, for what a great day in my life, my family, the church, and everything. And it just dawned on me, what a privilege, what an honor to be able to thank God, and when you have a good day, to know who to thank. You know, the world's out there, and they don't even know who to thank. I mean, they're not all bad days. They have good days, too, but they don't know who to give the glory to. Here we know who the source of our strength and our joy and our is, and it's God, and we ought to thank Him, and it shouldn't just be once a year, but it ought to be every day. But thank God we acknowledge it and we take advantage of it. You know, holidays, I think they're more important than a lot of people want to make them out to be. We really humanize a lot of holidays, and we commercialize a lot of holidays, and you hear a lot about that. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm also not ignorant to what's going on. Are you with me? And if we're not careful, we'll just make a holiday and forget the meaning of it. You know, we hear that around Christmas where we get the trees and the presents and all the things that go on, Santa Claus and the whole nine yards, and we forget the whole thing's about Jesus. It's kind of like throwing a party, you know, a birthday party for you and not invite you. But are you out there? And I'm all for the celebration. I mean, we do the gifts and the trees and the whole nine yards. Now, we don't do the Santa Claus, but that's just our prerogative and our perspective. But we put up, you know, nativity scenes and happy birthday Jesus all over the place. And you're not going to go to hell if you have Santa Claus in your house. I'm not saying that. Stay with me. But we try to our best, and we do here in the church too, that when holidays come around, to talk about what they are about. Holiday comes from holy day. That's what it meant. It was a holy day. It was a day set aside to honor someone. In these cases, Thanksgiving, honor God. And Christmas, of course, Christ Mass, to Mass toward Christ, to Mass toward Him. It was about Jesus. Now, we do a lot of stuff to celebrate, and that's fine. Nothing wrong with that at all. As long as we keep the meaning pure, and we're loud about it. Let's don't take Christ out of Christmas. Are you with me? You hear a lot of that, people saying happy holidays. What I want to say, what holiday? Because you're just saying happy holy day. What holy day are we happy about? I think it ought to be, it's Thanksgiving, we ought to call it Thanksgiving. It's Christmas, we ought to call it Christmas. Are you with me? Listen, if it's Veterans Day, we ought to call it Veterans Day. Oh, we do call it that, don't we? Yeah. We call it that because that's what it is. Are you with me? So we don't say holidays, happy holidays on Veterans Day, do we? No, we say Veterans Day because that's what it is. And rightly so, because that's what we're remembering. Memorial Day is not happy holidays. It's Memorial Day. We remember those that died and shed their blood for us that we might stand here and be free in this country. So holidays have a point, they have a meaning, and we don't want to lose the meaning of it. God forbid we just get so familiar with it we forget what it's all about. This season obviously is about thanking God. It's about giving Him glory and giving Him honor. It should be an attitude we all have as Christians. We ought to be thankful people. Even on your worst day, you're still alive. On your worst day, you're going to heaven if you're a born-again believer. You know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I like what Renee Garner said one time in the ladies' meeting up here. She said, you know, she was in Corpus, and it's 110 degrees, I think, in the summer, and it was just sweltering hot, and the air conditioner couldn't keep up. She was just having a miserable day. And then it just dawned on her in the midst of all that, you know, she just thought for a moment, you know what, this is as hot as it's ever going to get for me. And she said, so I just thought, you know, I ought to just bake a cake, call up all my friends, and tell them to come on over. We're going to have a thank God I'm not going to hell party. There's always something to thank God for. Are you with me? I mean, if you think about it. So, but you have to, it's a bent, it's a mindset, it's a way of thinking, it's an attitude. You know, grateful people, thankful people are pretty much that way all the time. And people that don't do that very often don't do it much at all. They're not thankful. They're not grateful. They don't realize, I think about laterally here, just people. It takes a lot of people for me to make it. Are you with me? It took a lot of people for you to make it. We all stand on the shoulders of giants. We all should be grateful, should be thankful. I think about this country, we ought to be thankful for all the people who have gone before us. That's why we have those holidays like Memorial Day and Veterans Day, to honor them, to honor people, men and women, who have fought for our freedoms. And we're not here just by chance, and we're not here just because we're that great. We're here because a lot of people got involved in the process. Whether it's a business, whether it's a church, whether it's a family, there's a lot of people involved. Are you out there? You know, I heard there was three stages of development or maturity in life. One of them is, of course, you start out, you're dependent. You're a baby. You're dependent on mama for everything. And then you become independent. That's when you're 16 years old living in a house. Hello. And mom and dad's paying all your bills and buying you the car and paying the gas and paying the insurance, and you're independent. But anyway, we go from dependence to independence. But really, the final stage, the most mature stage, is where you become interdependent. When you realize that you need each other, that we need other people. People need me, and I need them. Amen? And all of us make this thing happen. We all glean off each other. We all are dependent on each other, and that's interdependence is what that is. Now, ultimately, we're always dependent on God. I know that, spiritually speaking. But if you're really mature, you know that you are where you are today because of a lot of people. I'm where I am today because of a lot of people, especially my wife and my three daughters. I know that's right. No, that's nothing to say about my sons, but I mean my daughters have actually raised me, you know, and still doing it. But anyway, but to be thankful is to acknowledge that. That's what's so good. It's an attitude. It's a whole mindset. That you're not just thinking about how great you are, but you're thinking about how great others are. You're not just thinking about what you've done, but you're thinking about what others have done. And it's not a matter of feeling. I don't always feel thankful, but it's the right thing to do anyway. Amen, to thank people. I don't always feel thankful. You know, when I get up in the morning, I always feel thankful when people have done things for me. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But it's still right to thank people. It's right to say thank you. In fact, people help you out of goodness of their heart. And, you know, if you don't say thank you, they'll probably quit. If you don't know the truth, I mean, who's going to continue to help somebody that's ungrateful and unthankful and just... See, that's what's wrong. That's what's wrong with our country, I think, as far as our welfare system. There's nothing wrong with helping people. I think that's a good thing. We should help people. But now we've got it as a right. In other words, people want help and they believe it's their right to get help from you and from me and from other people and so on and so forth. And they're not grateful, not thankful. And that's just wrong to not be grateful and thankful. You know, we have a food ministry out here, and people are so thankful. And if someone comes out and they get upset and get mad and demand it, you know what? We just tell them to hit the road. Jack? That's right. I like that, Ron. Hit the road, Jack. Don't come back. Yeah. No mo, no mo, no mo. But anyway, we want to help people need help, but we're not going to just, you know, help people that are just chewing us out and mad about it and demanding, and are you out there? And that's not the case. I mean, those are rare cases. I mean, there have been on occasions that has happened. I think just recently somebody, we had to just run off, said, you know what? We don't even want to help you. You just go on down the road. You saw. You're a church. You're supposed to help. No, we're not. We're supposed to help people that want help and need help, but we're not supposed to help people that are just hollering at us, mad at us, and won't. Are you out there? Come on. Dave started to clap, and that was good. I agree. You know, you're not obligated to help people that are just going to rob you blind and then chew you out and ungrateful and unthankful. But you ought to help. You ought to help. Amen. Don't just say, well, I'm not going to help anybody. Oh, come on. You got to help. You got to help people. It's just the right thing to do. Amen. But there should be thankfulness on that other end. Amen. You know, I read this years ago, and I've said this before. It was Dorothy Sayers said this in a book called Creator Chaos. And she was talking about, and this was way back. This is like in the 40s, I think she wrote this. And she was from Great Britain. And she was talking about taxation, you know, that the rich have always helped the poor. Do you know that? Rich have always helped poor people. Poor people never got any help from anybody that didn't have anything. They always got help from people that had something. That's the way it's always been. It's been that way from the beginning of time. But it's been a voluntary thing. Hello? Churches have always helped people. That's really what the government's trying to do now is what churches have always done and should have done and should do. You know, we should help people. I think that's right. We're on a more personal basis. We can look at them. We can talk to them. We know them. They're our neighbors. They live in our town. Hello. But anyway, when the government comes in and says you have to do it, and I'm not talking policy. I'm not trying to make a political stand here. I'm just talking about the life we live. We live in this world, okay? This is a world we live in. When the government says, I have to help someone, then it's no longer charity on my part. It's no longer, there's no moral value there. There's no goodness on my part. I'm not wanting to do it. I'm kind of mad about it. I don't have a choice. I have to. And the person that's receiving it is not grateful or thankful for it because it's their right now. They demand it. They sign up. And boy, if they don't get it, boy, I'm telling you what, they're going to be upset if they don't get it. So now the same thing's going on. The poor are getting helped by the rich because that's the way it's always been. That same thing, the end result's still the same, but we've gotten rid of these two virtues called charity and gratefulness. The one fell swoop and taken out any moral value to the whole thing. And that's just wrong. Are you with me? Amen. Now, so should we not help people? No, we should help people. Should we not receive when we need help? No, you know what? You ought to learn to receive. If you need help and you're down and out, you ought to let people help you, but you ought to be grateful when you do. Are you with me? Thankfulness is an attitude. It's thinking about what others have done. I thank God for people that have helped me. I thank God for people that have a part in my life. I thank God for what they've done, and I thank them. See, three things happen when you're thankful. If you're writing notes down here. I just got to thinking about thankfulness, and if you're from East Texas, those two words get confused, think and thank. Because you don't know what I'm thinking right now, do you? Okay, anyway, this is driving you crazy if you're up north listening to this tape. But anyway, thanksgiving requires three things on our part. First, we got to think on someone else. Because thanksgiving revolves somebody else. We got to think about somebody else. That's number one. And that's a good thing. It gets you out of yourself. It gets you over yourself. You ought to get over yourself. We got over you a long time ago. That's the first thing you need to get over is yourself. Amen? Number two, it says we must think on something good that they have done to us or for us to thank them for. So we're not just coming out of ourselves and thinking about somebody else. We're coming out of ourselves thinking about somebody else and something good they've done. Boy, there's a twist, isn't it? I mean, we are such critics about everybody. Build the better mousetrap, armchair quarterbacks. We can do everything better. I'm telling you what, you just let me be president. I'll run this country and I'll fix it. 5 minutes. You know, you think that. You wonder about all those decisions they're making, what's going on, so on and so forth. And you don't realize what a quagmire that political machine is. And if you're in the middle of it, wow. Ask Betty. Betty was there for 12 years in the political system. And it's a game you have to play. It's not so black and white. There's a lot of compromise that has to go on to get anything done. And it's a terrible, terrible thing, but it's one of those things we have to have. We have to have government. But we ought to think of people. We ought to think of good things. That's what thankfulness requires. You don't thank people for bad things. You thank them for good things. You know, thank you for running your four-wheel truck in my front yard and rutting up the yard and tearing up my flowers. And you know, no, you don't thank them for that. You thank people for good things. So that's if you're thankful, that's a good thing because you're thinking of others and you're thinking of what others have done, good things. And then, of course, it requires that you vocalize those thoughts to this person or persons by thanking them. And that's good. You know, Jesus said what we call the golden rule in Matthew 7:12, if you write notes, He said, therefore, whatever you would that men do to you, do also to them. This is the law and the prophets. How many of you like to be criticized? How many of you would like a thank you every once in a while? Well, you ought to give a thank you every once in a while. If you want more thank yous, you ought to give more thank yous. If you want more smiles, you ought to give more smiles. If you want more kindness, give more kindness. You can't go around upset, mad, and hollering and screaming and wondering why everybody is so mean to you. Hello. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given to you. And in context to that, he's talking about a lot of things, not just money. He's talking about forgiveness. He's talking about judgment. He's talking about mercy. And so if you want to be thanked, if you think you live in a thankless job, my East Texas accent is tearing me up even. If you think you're living in a thankless job, you need to change your thinking. Now, well, maybe you need to thank people more. If you'll be more thankful, people will be more thankful. That's just the law of the kingdom. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. So why should I be so thankful? Why should I bother with thanking people? Why should I bother with acknowledging other people? Because you know what? You need that yourself. Every person needs it. You need encouragement. You need to be lifted. You need to be thanked from time to time. That's just the way we're wired, as it were. And you're going to get what you give. Mm-hmm. And, of course, another great benefit of the life of thankfulness is the joy that you experience from it. You find a person is always looking at the good in other people. They're joyful people. People that are always talking good about other people, they're happy people. Happy, happy, happy. They're not just critical all the time, so they're not mad. They're not always upset with people because they're not bitter, they're not hurting, they're not stressed out, as it were. They're just looking at the good in other people, and they're thanking people what they do. You know what? It makes them better. There's a benefit from it, from being thankful for other people and what they've done in your life. Hallelujah. Man, I'm a product of a lot of people. I think of my parents. My dad was a reader. He read all the time, and I picked that up from my dad. And my dad was a hard worker. He was kind of hard on me maybe when I was growing up. I bought my first two bicycles, actually. But that was a good thing. I mean, I worked. I always had a job when I was a little kid even. They had paper routes and worked all the time. And, you know, we might think, well, that's just too hard. No, it wasn't. That was good. That instilled in me a responsibility, a hard work ethic. And I am what I am today because of that. And I read a lot today. And even with all the issues I could look at in my dad's life and issues that he had, he was an alcoholic. And, he was a real, real reader. And so I know I'm a product of that. Man, I've always loved to read. I read back when I was lost. I read books. I read all the time. I don't read the same books anymore, but are you out there? But I'm thankful. You say, are you bitter toward your parents? Not at all. I'm not bitter toward my dad. Are you kidding? He got sobered up, got an AA, and the last 40 plus years of his life, he was sober. And and thank God I got saved. I mean, ultimately, if I'm thanking somebody, I got to thank God, because I don't know where I'd be without him. If I weren't saved, if I hadn't turned my life over to Jesus, the kind of life I lived, my background, I got kicked out of school. You know, when I was, 16 or 17, I left home when I was 15, got married when I was 17. I was in drugs and jails and wild. But one day, the hound of heaven hunted me down. And I laid down my arms of rebellion, and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I've never been the same since. And so I'm eternally grateful to God. When I think of just in the natural, when I think of my children, I think of this church, I think about all the things that have gone on in my life, and I owe God such a debt I'll never be able to repay. I'm grateful. You know, if you've asked me what's my attitude, what's my outlook, what I think about life, well, it's pretty simple. I'm just a grateful man. I'm a very thankful, grateful man. Because whatever I am by the grace of God. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, and you need to get a hold of that too. Listen, you think you're smart, but God gave you that brain. You think you're talented, well, God gave you those gifts and those talents. You know, you think, well, man, I'm a good businessman or businesswoman, or I'm artistic, I can do this, I can do that, I can sing. Listen, you haven't got nothing that God didn't give you. Everything you have, God gave you. So while we're thinking and talk about thanking people laterally, why don't we just turn this thing straight up and down and get to the real source and start thanking God vertically? because He's the one that has given us every single thing we have. I think about people that are less maybe gifted or less, not as intelligent. This is something I remind myself constantly. And that's why I have a hard time watching anything on TV with mentally challenged kids, mental retardation, you know. That may not be politically correct. That's the way I grew up. That's what I call it, mental retardation. That's not an insult. But when I think about that, how blessed I am and how blessed my children are to have good head, good brain, so on and so forth. And when I see, like, Radio, you ever saw the movie Radio? I'm not going to kid you. I can't watch that movie. I just cannot watch the movie. I tried. I watched it. I mean, I went through it one time, but I'm never going to watch that movie again. It's not going to happen. I don't know. When I think about people that are so challenged like that, that have not been gifted with a good mind, and I am so grateful that God gave me a brain, that God gave me a mind. Are you with me? And I don't think God kept it back from them. I think it's the world we live in. It's a broken, fallen world. It's the sin of Adam that caused all that mess, and I don't believe anybody's that way when they get to heaven. Hallelujah. When they get to heaven, I'm telling you what, their brain opens up and they're completely sharp again. Hallelujah. And they're crippled here. They'll walk there. Praise God. And if they got limbs missing here, they'll get them when they get there. No doubt about it. But those kind of things just eat at me and tear at me. You know, I just weep. Any kind of documentary comes, I have to change channel. I just can't do it because I am grateful for just being able to think and think clearly, I hope. Hallelujah. You know, when I first got saved, I couldn't remember anything. You may not believe that, but Brenda can testify. When I first got saved, I couldn't remember names. I couldn't remember phone numbers. I still can't remember phone numbers. That hadn't changed a bit, really. But God gave me a supernatural gift to remember Scripture. Supernatural. Just called me to teach and then just provided for me what I didn't have. Gave me a supernatural memory, you know. Of course, I quote a lot of scriptures on it and stood on it and believed it and still believe today that He brings to my remembrance everything He said to me. Amen. But that's something to be thankful for. You got a brain. Come on. There's so much to be thankful for. And you need to thank God. Amen. Turn, if you got Psalms 100. Yes. Psalms 100. Is this helping anybody? Amen. Okay. The 100th Psalm, great psalm to be quoting this time of year, it's called a Psalm of Thanksgiving. I'm reading to you out of the New King James Version. If you have another translation, it's going to follow pretty close, so stay with me. A psalm of thanksgiving, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lambs. Everybody say shout. Yeah. I love that. So he did joyful noise, I think King James says. So it doesn't matter if you can sing on key or off key. He said make a joyful shout. Everybody can do that. Everybody can holler and everybody can scream. I love that. Jennifer. You know, Jennifer didn't learn to talk. She learned to shout. When she was real little, she just started shouting, you know, real loud. It said everything real loud. In fact, her son Lucas, he sounded like a porpoise when he was born. He'd scream. I don't know that scream he'd had. He had a just, you know, kids have a distinct scream. I don't know if you noticed that. They have different, mamas can recognize them. Everybody can recognize Lucas. He sounded like Flipper, you know. He just had this whining scream. He's loud. He made noise. Where there's life, there's noise. Amen. And you and I ought to make a shout. We ought to joyfully shout to God, not scream, but joyfully shout to God, all you lands. And it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Everybody say gladness. Gladness. Oh, man, I'd rather serve God than anybody. What are you talking about? I'd rather be here in church than the best jailhouse in town. I'd rather be here in church than the best hospital in the county. Are you kidding me? There's a lot of places I could be, but I'd a whole lot rather be here. Are you out there? And I'm joyful. I'm glad about it. I'm not mad. You know, Brother Osteen John Osteen used to always say about preachers, he says, you ought to preach the good news, and you ought to preach the good news glad. He said, I get so tired of turning the TV on and watching these mad preachers. Madder than a wet hen, you know. You know that saying, madder than a wet hen? We say that in East Texas, down here in Texas. anybody, y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, I preach out a lot, so if I go to other places, I have to explain a lot of our sayings. I catch myself saying them, and I go, wait a minute, they probably don't know what that means. I'm from Texas, they're not, you know. But people are just mad. They're mad about God. They're mad about you serving God. They're mad about you coming to church. They're mad about you getting saved. I mean, I'm thinking, come on, man, you're in the pulpit. Quit beating them over the head. Even a hog will quit coming to slop if you hit him with a head with a two before every time he shows up to eat. Church is not about beating people over the head. It's about telling people God loves them and he's for them, and they can come out of the mess they're in to have a future and to have a hope, and you ought to be glad, praise God, to serve God. Man, I'm a whole lot better off now than I was before I got saved. I've got every reason to rejoice and shout and be glad and be thankful. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You ought to sing to the Lord. You don't have to carry a note. You just, you know, when you're by yourself, go ahead and sing. Nobody's listening. Go ahead. In the shower, that's fine. Just sing. Just worship the Lord. I worship the Lord all the time, singing little, you know, use little scripture ditties, scripture songs that we learned years and years ago at Lakewood. We started going to Lakewood Church in 1975, and they sang right out of the scripture. They would just sing verses out of the scripture. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. You ever heard that song? Well, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh, glory, blessed is the man that walketh not. Just goes back over and over again. Of course, that's King James hymnal. You know, it's in King Jimmy. But, you know, I'll just sing those little ditties. They get in my head. It's a whole lot better than some of the things we hear on TV, isn't it? You ever get those commercials, those little jingles you can't get out of your head, you know? Do what? Oh, yeah, Psalms 100. It's another song that we sang. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I ain't got the third verse yet, so I have to stop. Third verse. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. You are who you are by the grace of God. Amen. You got what you got because God gave it to you. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, well, I work my fingers to the bones. Well, God put the bones in your fingers. He put the fingers on your hands. Amen. I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. You know, it's like people said, a scientist said he was going to make a human being without God. And this preacher standing there says, well, go ahead. And he says, okay. So he picked up some dirt. And he said, no, you got to get your own dirt. Anywhere you start, I mean, you got it. God's got to provide it, right? Because you just can't make it. You can't make anything without him. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Hallelujah, somebody. I belong to God, hallelujah, and he's going to take care of me. I'm part of his sheep, his pastor. You know, actually, the better I look, the better he looks. The better I'm doing, the better he looks. You look at sheep, you look at a pastor, if they're fat and looking good, well, that's a reflection on a shepherd. You look at cows, if they're looking good, the ribs aren't showing, you know, that's a reflection on the rancher. And so really, when you think about us as his children, we ought to be a joyful people. We ought to be a positive people. We ought to be a thankful and a grateful people. And we ought to allow God to bless us. Stay with me. It's not just about us. It's not just about me. It's a world out there that needs to see God in me and in you. They need to see you go through things and come out smiling without the smell of smoke on you. Are you with me? And I wasn't referring to smoking cigarettes. I'm just talking about a metaphor. But anyway, well, that'd be good too. They don't need to smell smoke on you too. But anyway, they need to see you survive. They need to see you thrive. They need to see you having victory. They need to see you come out of that mess. They need to see you make it. They need to identify you with him who is the shepherd, and you are the sheep, and you're the sheep of his pasture. Amen. Amen? And the picture they have of God really is the picture we give them. See, here's the great truth of Christianity. The church is the best thing God's got going. Here's the negative side of Christianity, the worst part of Christianity. The church is the only thing God's got going. And sometimes we're the worst witness. Sometimes we're the worst picture. And we're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be a good picture of God. Amen? Amen? blaming them for everything in the world that goes down the pike. You know, I'm amazed at how we stand in church and we tell people that God did this to them and did that to them and killed their kids and their parents and burnt their house down and God had some higher purpose and all that. Listen, God's not your problem. God is your answer. God's who you run to in those times. Those things are bad and God doesn't like them any more than you do. And when you're grieving over that loved one that has gone on, I tell you, God grieves too. He doesn't like it either. This world is fallen. It is broken. It's an old story, but it's all in the Bible. It's there. It starts in Genesis. It talks about the fall of Adam. It talks about how sin came into the world. It talks about how destruction took over. And it talks about how God's going to come back and turn it all around. Hallelujah. And it talks about a place called heaven that you and I are going to go. Thank God for heaven. Now, that's what I rejoice in when someone goes on and leaves this earth. I don't rejoice in their death. I don't thank God for their pain. God didn't do that. That's what he told me in the Bible. Are you with me? But we'll turn right around and tell him God did it and God had some plan and some purpose. God's plan is for this whole thing to turn around. His plan is for this whole thing to be redeemed. And it will be. It's going to be, just like he said. It's all there. It's in the Bible. God's ultimate purpose and plan for the earth is Revelation chapter 21 and 22. Go read it. Streets of gold and pearly gates. That's not heaven. That's the new earth. That's the new Jerusalem coming down on a new earth. Man, no mosquitoes, no chiggers, no red bugs. Ho! No fire ants. Nothing hurts, nothing harms. Not a hospital there. There's not a funeral home there because nobody dies and nobody gets sick. Former things have passed away, all things become new. There be no more sighing, no more crying, no more dying, for the former things have passed away and all things have become new. That's God's plan. You say, well, what happened? What's wrong with the world? Me. You. We're what's wrong with the world. Okay, moving right along here. Are you out there? He says this, he says, know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he who has made us, and not we ourselves, and we are his people, hallelujah, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Amen. Oh, come on, you want to get in the presence of God? Start thanking God. Start thanking him for all he's done for your life, in your life. Start thanking him for your salvation. Start thanking him for your life. Start thanking him for blessing you with this and that and so on and so forth. Whatever he's done, start giving him glory. Start giving him praise. You'll just enter right into his presence. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Man, that's the kind of person I want to be. God's not mad at me. God's not putting me through the mill here. God's not trying to teach me by smashing me like a bug. God's trying to help me. He's trying to pull me out of this mess. He's waiting for me to call. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all, the Bible says. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all getting something out of this? Amen. You know, I just come down here and preach myself happy and go back home. That's what I do. And invite y'all to come along and get on the bus. That's really what happens. But, you know, I need this just as much as you do. I need to hear this. I need to be stirred. I need to be shaken. I need to be awakened. Hallelujah. I need to be encouraged. I need to be lifted. And that's what God's Word does. That's what the Holy Spirit in this building does. That's what the Holy Spirit, His presence here does. It lifts us. It opens us up. He draws us. He pulls us. He reveals Himself to us. And He gives us hope. Gives us hope. I love that. You know, Mo and I were just talking about that the other day, and I think I mentioned it before, but, you know, we are dealers in hope is what we are, and this is a good deal. It's a real deal. It's not a scam. It's not a sham. It's not Obamacare. This is real deal. This is good stuff. God help me. We're dealers in hope. And, you know, without God, you don't have hope. But I got good news for you. You're not without God. You are with Him, and He is with you. And you have hope, and you have a future. And you have a destiny. And I don't know what you're going through. And I don't know what kind of pain you're dealing with. I don't know what kind of depression you're dealing with. I don't know what kind of agony you're going through day by day. But you can come out of that mess. The dark clouds can roll away. The light can come again. I'll tell you what, this is a new day. This is the day the Lord has made. And we can rejoice and we can be glad in it. Hallelujah. We can make it. Praise God, we can make it. We enter His gates with thanksgiving. We enter His courts with praise. We're thankful to Him and we bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Man, that's a good psalm, isn't it? You got to love that. You know, the word psalm just means praises. That's what it means. So you can praise your way out of that mess. You can't. You really can't. In other words, if you'll thank God not for the mess, but for the deliverance. Hey, they thought they had Paul and Silas in the middle of the night, midnight. The Bible says they were in jail, and they were in stocks, they were in a common prison, and the Bible says they sang praises to God. I heard a sermon, Don Murphy preached it one time, and it was called Too Hot to Handle. And he said, you know how you put a pot on the stove and turn the heat on? He said, you can hold that handle for a while if it's a metal handle, but eventually it gets so hot you got to let it go. It gets too hot to handle. He said, that's the way it is when the devil gets a hold of you. If you'll just start praising God, worshiping God, oh, he'll grab you for a little while, but finally you just get too hot to handle. In the middle of the night, Paul and Silas prayed and worshiped God, and they got too hot to handle. And an earthquake took place, and the jails were opened up, and the chains fell off. Jonah, he was 3 days in the belly of a whale, but after 3 days, it says he made a vow to God, and he gave thanksgiving to the Lord. And he got too hot to handle, and that whale just threw him up. So if you want the devil to throw you up, are you out there? Oh, the devil thought he had Jesus 3 days in the grave. Hallelujah. But he got too hot to handle. Oh, it may look bad. The fire may be burning under your feet. But if you'll start praising God, you'll start thanking God for his goodness and his deliverance and all the things he's done for you. I'll tell you what, you'll get too hot to handle. And the devil will have to let you go. And you'll come out of that darkness and step out into that light. You'll come out of that prison. Hey, the gate's open. What are you doing in the prison? Come on out. Even a cow's got better sense than we do. You ever notice that? You put a cow in a pen, first thing that cow does is start walking the fence, looking for a way out. What we do, we walk out in the middle of the pasture and sit down. Listen, when the trial comes and the trouble comes and the test comes, listen, you start looking for the way out. There's a gate here somewhere. There's a gate. God's always got a gate open somewhere. Amen. Amen. Just start thanking and praising him and worshiping him. That'll take you to the way. Well, it'll take you to his presence because in his... if we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Hallelujah.